Good evening, everyone. This is Roski Mascagni. We're going to do Conscious Corner this evening in the absence of Professor Amin Ra. He wasn't able to make it, but hopefully next week he'll be able to extend this show because he wanted to talk about the history of the Black Studies program and its inception to 2004. I didn't look at the title this evening. For various reasons, I was hustling up individuals to come and speak about the Black Studies program. I'm pleased that a few people were able to show up on a last minute's notice. That was I'm very appreciative of that. So what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna introduce the panel, and we're gonna feature one of the people who was in the beginning of the Black Studies program at Long Beach State. So let me introduce Brother Ahi out of Detroit, Brother Mashinda. He's in Louisiana. And thanks for coming, Chris. Chris Shepherd was able to come on last minute. And we're going to feature Earl Parker, longtime activist and a coach. And he did a lot in the Long Beach area and still is doing a lot. I'm going to let him discuss that. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to go to Brother Ahi, because Brother Ahi, in some way or fashion, was a part of the Black Studies program at Long Beach State. So, Brother Ahi, can you tell us how were you affiliated with the Black Studies program at Long Beach State? And then you could tell us about, you know, your experiences with Long Beach State Black Studies program.
You know what first comes to mind with the Black Studies program at Long Beach State is the conference that they had every year. And I'm talking about, I mean, something, you know, I'm just off the top of my head, like Haki Madhubuti and Stokely Carmichael, Kwame Ture, Maya Lana, of course, the great Maya Lana, just a host of who was who on the scene, and not just Africans, but like the Aborigine or the Native Americans would come through. Some of the revolutionaries would put up a strong message. the Black Studies program has a lot to do with helping to shape who and what I am. Today, I've taken it with me through my life. It is the foundation of being a free thinker, having free thoughts, and we're coming to terms of being an African. Prior to that, I wasn't certain that I was an African and had ridiculed those who said they were and that I was out of my ignorance. But I was enlightened. I was really enlightened in that program, and I have lifelong friends in that program, and I really admire Professor Amin Ra. It's just an honor, just to be on this podcast and listen to him and speak every week and share his many years of knowledge and wisdom with us. And I appreciate you, brothers, for having this. Because it has been profound. You know, I was there when Ejiro Shaka was the president and Daryl Thiabidi, they called him the little giant. That was back in the days. That was like, 81, 82? Those years, early in the program. So, I've held it close to my heart, and it's been a part of my growth. It's really a part of my foundation, my early late teens, early 20s, till now. So
did you, thank you. Did you take classes in the Black Studies program? Were you,
no, but I did not take any classes. I was, at a local technical school and at Long Beach City College. My roommates were full-time students. And I did spend a lot of time up there studying and participating in their Black Studies program, along with the one that was up in Long Beach City College.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing to attend the university and not actually be a student there to get that excellent information that was being passed out back then.
It was extended. It was
Yeah.
extended. He said, come get it.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Okay, I appreciate that. I'm gonna go to Brother Mashinda. Brother Mashinda has been with us since day one, 4 years ago. And he didn't go to Long Beach State, but I know he has a rich history from San Diego State. And I don't know how other ways he affiliated with the Black Studies program in Long Beach State, but through Professor Ra and myself and Brother Ahi, because he's one of our regulars on the show. So, Brother Mashinda, you want to speak a little bit about your experience at San Diego State with affiliation with the Black Studies program there, and any interaction with the Long Beach State Black Studies program?
Well, so I definitely was very very familiar with the Black Studies program at San Diego State, as a freshman on. Like the brother said, I growing up, as a kid, civil rights movements and politics with my dad and different things like that. I was exposed early in life to a lot of the issues and the plight of Black people in America. And as I grew older, I started to understand it on another level. And when I touched down at San Diego State, bringing that raw experience that I had and probably didn't realize that I had. It was just a natural thing that I was affiliated with, and not forced into, but just being a part of like movements at an early age. And so when I got to San Diego State, it was, predominantly, mostly white people at the school. So it was a kind of a culture shock for me, coming out of Compton. It was like, I've seen white people before, but of course, in academia going there. So anyway, Dr. Karanga was a professor at San Diego State before I got there. His wife taught there. She was there when I was there, actually. I think briefly. I didn't take classes with her. So that's the connection with Sandy, with Long Beach State. Dr. Karanga, was a, like I say, a professor there at San Diego State. But Dr. Shirley Weber, of course, in government in California, Secretary of State, or moving up through the ranks in California, introducing reparation bills. And again, Dr. Shirley Thomas, and Dr. James Carey and J. Owen Smith, who introduced me to organizational management in low-income neighborhoods. He wrote a book, which, it really, so these that first ex I, that my early experience in college, my freshman year and my sophomore year, I took a lot of African American lifestyles or African studies or just different types of classes. Ethnicity and social psychology, and to name a few classes and things like that. So again, being at this all-white university, so again, and being a part of Black Student Union, being a treasurer, being involved in fraternal activities as as an officer, and working in the student union as a student worker, and then or working in there, getting paid to actually work in there, and I was a treasurer, for a little while. And so I had a valuable experience, where I was at. So I always thought like Long Beach State was, we're all part of the state system. And my sister, she went to Long Beach State for I think a semester before she chose to, take her, aspirations elsewhere. But so But again, and I've been on San Diego State's campus. I mean, excuse me, I'm speaking Long Beach State. With with fraternal activities and different things like that. Again, all I can say that the experience was very valuable, as Brother Ihe said, to learn, learn what's written and learn what's not written in terms of lecture from experiences from people like the professors that we talk about, who have a rich understanding and a perspective, And so to this day, I was on the campus and I was able to meet Brother Stokely Carmichael, like say better known as Kwame Ture. He was at San Diego State. He was there speaking. And so I met him while he was there on campus walking down the walk. And I recognized him. My boys didn't know who he was, but I called him, hey, Stokely Carmichael, I called him, And so we had a conversation. You ready for the revolution? I said, you know it, I remember that. Dick Gregory came and spoke to a group of us about, it was about maybe 20 of us in a private room before he had some other speaking engagement, but we got together and had a great conversation, So invaluable, invaluable experience, But I always felt connected to San Diego. I mean, I keep saying it to Long Beach State, growing up, like I say, where I did not in I probably would have went there if I didn't go to San Diego State, But that's all I have to say right now. I just, trying to reminisce and trying to think of my experiences. But anyway, somebody else can take the wheel.
All right, I appreciate it, Brother Mashinda. All right,
Sure.
Brother Chris, Brother Chris Shepherd, I want to
Yeah.
ask you, did we graduate together? What year did you graduate out of Long Beach State?
I came out of Long Beach State in 93. I finished all my
Okay.
courses in 93.
Okay, so we did come out together. Okay.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
that's excellent. Now, Chris, was you Black Studies major?
I was a Black Studies major at Long Beach State, and my buddy Mario Gardner introduced me to Cal State University of Long Beach. I was coming out of Centennial High School. By the way, you guys, we're going to be driving to the airport, taking my daughter to the airport and drop her off the SFO in San Francisco. So, but I wanted to be a part of this process, so I asked my wife to drive so I can, stay in tune with you guys right here because I like what's going on.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. So, can you tell us your experiences with the Black Studies program at Long Beach State, and also give us a little background? You was one of our guests before on the show,
Yeah.
but give us a
Yeah.
little background of, I know you was a DJ at Long Beach State, so tell us a little bit
Yeah.
about that and your experience with the Black Studies department.
Well, I'm gonna do that, exactly that, man. I mean, when I came on at Long Beach State and I came through the EOP program, I don't think that's still around anymore. I came through there and that's how I got in. I got in and I was introduced to a whole different environment of people. And I'm talking through nationality-wise, because I was going to Centennial, it was black and brown all day, every day, right? And we might have a white person in the front office or something like that, but it was all day, every day, black and brown. So when I start experiencing this different diversity of people, you get to hearing about teachers and everything. And Amun-Ra was one class. His name just kept coming up, coming up, coming up, right? And before I could get to his class, you had to pick a major and all this other good stuff. So I selected radio, TV, and film. I was introduced to jazz through my oldest brother who passed away when I was in the 7th grade, but he left behind all these jazz albums. We talking Coltrane, Thelonious Monk, Miles Davis, Lee Morgan, on down the line. So I got into that like in the 7th grade. By the time I get to college, I find out they have a radio station up there. So I'm taking radio courses and everything. And one day, somebody asked me to program a show. And they didn't know me from Adam, right? I was just up there taking a class. So I programmed a show, but I didn't know that show was a back announcement for one of the on-air personalities, Helen Borges. And Helen said, "Well, I want to meet the person who programmed my show." Next thing I know, they offered me a job. They said, "What do you know about this music?" I said, "Well, what do you want to know?" And she said, "I'm gonna offer you a job." Just by that response, you know. Next thing I know, I'm programming shows, radio shows on FM 88.1 KLON, America's Jazz Station, right? Which was beautiful. And then after that, Eurojazz came along, and all of a sudden I was going to Europe. I'm not expecting none of this. I'm getting sponsored by Heineken going to Europe, right? And you know, I'm doing that and I'm on air in Europe and in the US. And then I said, "Well, I'm going to school. I got to get my classes down, right?" I said, "Let me take a course with this Amun-Ra guy, right?" Next thing you know, I'm taking a course in Amun-Ra. I'm meeting him. He said, "You a shepherd?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Man, I know your brothers." They went to Centennial. He started naming off my. I'm like, "Oh, wow." So I'm feeling at home now. Ra made me feel very comfortable in the college environment that in this college environment that I had no background or experience in. So I started feeling at home there immediately. Next thing you know, I'm taking Black Studies courses. I'm learning a little bit more about the communities and the development of the communities and how important it is to kind of keep preserving those Black communities. Next thing you know, I'm taking classes and De Silva's classes. He was one of the instructors. Professor Robinson's courses. He's one of the instructors. And then when Dr. Malala Karanga came along, it was like our own HBCU. Now that I had the experience of HBCU with my daughter, and I think about the time I was in college, that was our own little HBCU at Long Beach State. So I'm like, wow, this has really prepared me for my future. Next thing you know, we are over at the US organization, which is in it was in LA somewhere. I think it was off of I want to say Washington, somewhere over there by USC. But I'm over here at the US organization. We're going up there because these are all extra credit type courses. But it was so informative, right, about the community and what was going on. And I think Dr. Malala Karanga was speaking at the US organization. And then I started seeing these people I knew that I went to church with when I was a kid. You know, and they were adults. And I'm like, wow. And they said, "Shepherd, you know, what you know about the US organization?" I said, "Well, I'm here today and I'm finding out stuff I didn't know about." And it was just a real community. So I move on, right? I go on to tutoring kids at Compton College. And this is where it all began. When I started tutoring those kids at Compton College and seeing the effect that I had on them and the results from that each week that we would go and follow up with them and listen about hear about the results and listen to what the kids had to say and what their teachers were asking them, where were you getting this information from? Who taught you this? What'd you learn? It just felt good. It felt good. So I went on and I started applying for, you know, as I got close to graduation, I started applying for jobs, right? At the time, my wife, who was my girlfriend then, she goes, "Well, what type of career are you gonna have?" Right? And I'm like, "Wait a minute, what part?"
Guess we lost him for a minute here. He's frozen.
Residential advisor position at a Job Corps program. Next thing you know, I am a part of an entire community. Next thing you know, to make a long story short, I get recruited.
Hey, Chris, we lost you for about 10, 15 seconds. Can you repeat, like, go back a few seconds and repeat that?
The next thing, did you hear about what program did I go to, Sharice? The Urban League. Did you hear about the Urban League program?
No, no,
Okay. All right. So this is all Black Studies, right? I'm going over to the Urban League program and on Mount Vernon and Crenshaw. I go over to the Urban League and I'm applying for a job, right? Next thing you know, I got a job with the Job Corps program, and I'm like ahead of all these kids on this on the ninth floor. So I'm thinking about my Long Beach experience and how can I apply that to these kids. Next thing I know, we have writer's workshop, We have listening sessions. We have poetry readings. These kids were expressing themselves. And this was before the poetry thing came big on at the Apollo and it was all televised and everything. This was right before that started, right? We were doing that. I was doing that with the kids, which was great. To go even further than that, the next thing you know, I'm recruited by the federal government. They said, hey, I've been watching your programs because the government studies youth organizations, their Job Corps programs, which is a $1.8 billion program. And they said, I've been watching what you're doing here. And would you like to do that on a federal level? And you'd be over Job Corps contracts. I said, great. That's great. The next thing you know, I'm hired by the federal government to oversee youth programs. And that's where I am today. I have two kids, a wife, and a home. I live in the Bay Area. The Black Studies program for me at Long Beach State has been a blessing. The people I met, the trials and tribulations I've gone through, and the people you meet along the way and do not forget about and try to inform them about the benefits of the program because they can go to Job Corps, get the same thing almost they can get in college. At the taxpayer expense. It's one of the best tax-paying programs that's out there. Hands down. Hands down. Kids go to they can go to a community, they can do their high school education, they can do a career technical training program, and they can go to college all from that one position. They get 3 solid years in the program, 2 base years, 1 year if you go into advanced career training program. And I'm working with DeAnthony and some other people on getting them on board to run their own Job Corps program. And this is going on the East Coast and on the West Coast with various types of groups. Because the lady that brought me in, she said, Chris, whatever you do, you got to make sure we make it. So, Black Studies. What can I say about Black Studies, man? I
Well,
can't say enough, man. I enjoyed it. It was one of the best experiences of my life in college, after college, and today.
that's a beautiful thing, Chris, and I appreciate you coming on last minute like you did to inform us about your experience. I'm gonna go ahead and move on to Brother Earl Parker. Let me say a few things about Brother Earl Parker. When I was at Compton High School playing basketball, we played against Poly. And Long Beach Poly back then in the early 80s, late 70s, they were a powerhouse national basketball program. And to this day, and I'm gonna say this, I can't stand Long Beach Poly. And I'm gonna tell you why. Because I never beat them, but I never lost to Long Beach Jordan. So I can say that. But no, I've made plenty of great relationships from people from Long Beach Poly. I played with them in college. That program was a now that's another legendary program like the Black Studies program, the Long Beach State, I mean Long Beach Poly basketball program. And I take my hat off to them. I had great relationships with people from that program. And
Well, just let me. I'm going to, but let me get some power cord right quick. Go ahead
okay.
and talk.
So John Rambo, another Long Beach State guy, I had a real close and personal relationship with him. And God rest his soul. The brother was a beautiful, beautiful brother that was another Long Beach State and Long Beach Poly basketball player, Olympian when he was in high school, and just excellent. Chris Sandel, God rest his soul, another person that went to Long Beach Poly that was close with. I played with Moreland Wiley and Andre Curry, state champions, so. Earl Parker was there, and I didn't even know who Earl Parker was while he was coaching at Long Beach Poly, but I learned about him after I left, and I know he's been doing some great things throughout his career in Long Beach and programs, and he's still affiliated with Long Beach Poly basketball program. But I'm gonna let him talk about his history and the things that he's doing. And then I just found out tonight, I've been knowing him all these years, that he was a part of the inception of Long Beach State Black Studies program. So I'm gonna let him take over and tell us more about himself and the Long Beach State Black Studies program. Thanks, Earl, for coming this evening. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Rico. And it was really enjoyable listening to the brothers talk about their affiliation with the Black Studies program at Cal State Long Beach. I helped begin the program in 1969. Amon Ra and myself, and Dr. Willie Elston, and Dr. Clyde Taylor, and just a number of people. San Francisco State had the first Black Studies department in the country, and we led for that example, but it was a struggle getting it was resistance getting the Black Studies Department established at Cal State Long Beach, and we had to protest and walk out and storm the campus and shut down the campus and clash with police and fight with white racists to get that program going, and eventually did. But it was because of a national movement led by San Francisco State's Black Student Union. And if you read history, they really put themselves on the line, went to jail, clashed with police, came on campus. We had to do the same thing, not as dramatic as San Francisco State, but we got the Black Studies Department established. We began working on it in 1969 and got it established. The Black Student Union, which I was a member of leadership of, was the spearheaded getting the Black Studies Department established at Cal State Long Beach. And we started in actually even before I got there in 1967. By the time I got there in 1968, we finally got it established in 1970. And we had courses like the politics of the Black community, economics of the Black community, Black theater workshop, game theory. Those were some of the courses that I helped write the curriculum for, along with other students and other fa Black faculty. I came to Long Beach State. I was born in Detroit, Michigan, and my family moved out to Southern California, and I finished high school at LA Washington High School. I went to Los Angeles City College for a semester and a summer session. And through the EOP program, I was admitted at Cal State Long Beach through Dr. Joe White, who helped start the Black Studies Department, but he went on to Irvine. So I immediately, after reading the autobiography of Malcolm X before I came a student at Long Beach State, really politicized me. And I was all about the revolution. Me and a bunch of other students from Compton, from Los Angeles, Centennial High School, Compton High School, San Pedro High School. There was a large influx of Black students in 1967 and 68. And we were one of the strongest Black student unions in the state. We wanted a Black Studies Department like San Francisco State, and we finally got it established in the 1970 academic year. So I studied journalism at Cal State Long Beach. I was there from 1968 to 1972. I got married and settled in the Black community here in Long Beach. And I've been doing a lot of stuff. Rico was telling you, I helped coach at Long Beach Poly. I worked for the recreation department for at the city of Long Beach, the Health and Human Services Department, for over 30 years, and helped start the African American Cultural Center of Long Beach recently. So I've been very active, but I'm proud to hear that your younger brothers benefited from our struggles. And I remember the Black Consciousness Conference that was every year that started after I left there. But I'm very proud of you brothers that and I knew I'm helped. You're standing on my shoulders and the things that you've done going through Cal State Long Beach. And then Amon Ra took it from there after we left and continued to be a professor there. And Mylana Karinga, who is presently the chair of the Black Studies Department. People need to know the history of the Black Studies Department and the Black Student Union and the EOP program at Long Beach State since its inception. Dr. Joe White, who passed away a few years ago, and Dr. Clyde Taylor, all those Black faculty helped shepherd the program through the administration, who really didn't want to do it, but they were, because of political pressure, from, you know, nationally, internationally, we got a lot of things, but it's kind of sad to see so many, not as many Black students on the campus, especially Black males on the campus at Long Beach State, and we have to do something about it. But that's in a synopsis, my involvement with the Black Studies Department. It's called the Africana Study Department now, which is fitting because we're Pan-Africanist. You know, we're our origin is Africa. I was affiliated with the Black Panther Party, and I've done a lot. In a couple of days, I'll be 75 years old. I just can't believe that I'm that old now. But I'm in good health. But it really thrills me. And Amon-Ra and I are just, I mean, we're really, really close friends. I played basketball, freshman basketball at Long Beach State. Amon-Ra played varsity ball under Jerry Tarkanian. We became very close. Lynn McDonald, who I just talked to today, he came a little later. But it's a rich history at the California State University, Long Beach, and I'm very proud to have been a part of it.
That's phenomenal, and you are correct. We do stand on you guys' shoulders, and we hold you. We owe you a debt of gratitude for your sacrifice. And I don't know what I would be doing right now if I didn't, engage with Professor Rob back when I was about 24 years old. And it's phenomenal to be a part of a program that did so much for, hundreds of thousands of people. And like with Brother Chris and how it, shot him up in his field, and Brother Ahi, his experiences of Brother Mashinda out of San Diego State University and the great things he's doing affiliated with these type of programs. And then I just appreciate you coming on, Brother Earl, and everybody else. Now, Sister Linda came in. Sister Linda?
She's on mute.
Yeah. Are you able to unmute? Okay, well, she's one of our
Okay, no,
she's
I'm
unmuted
here.
now.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. Good evening, Linda. Thanks for
Good
coming.
evening. Thank you.
Can you tell us your affiliation with the Black Studies program out of Long Beach State?
No, I
Because I
didn't
know
have that.
you're affiliated through Professor Rob, but I don't know if you have any other ties to the Long Beach State.
No, I have no other ties, but I definitely want to say hi to Errol Parker. Oh my goodness, I have not seen him in years. And Errol, this is Linda Shorter. We're back to Linda
Oh,
Shorter.
Linda.
Hey, oh my
Gosh,
goodness. I
it's
am
been
so glad.
years.
I know, right? And I'm so glad I came on tonight. I'm in Florida.
Oh, yeah, that's your hometown, home
Yes,
state.
I'm back. Yes, I'm back home. Yes.
Yeah,
And
okay.
I'm just no, I wasn't affiliated with Long Beach State except the Black Consciousness Conferences because we owned a bookstore there and we used to be a part of that then. And I was just mesmerized hearing about Errol Parker. As long as I've known him, I didn't know the history about you. I'm like, wow. And I have to call Cynthia tonight and tell her.
Oh, please.
Definitely I will.
Well, Linda and I were part of a Black political organization in the community. Linda, remember?
Yes, BAPAC. Yes, the Black
BAPAC,
American.
that's right.
Yes. Black American Political Association of California.
That's right.
Started by Willie Brown. Yes.
That's right. Yeah, I've been involved in so much stuff. A milestone to being just in a couple of days, being 75 years old. I'm in great health, you know.
You're looking good too. Wait, wow.
Thank you so much. But you know, it's a milestone, and to have been involved with all the things I've been involved with, young African American men, right now in Long Beach, boys, girls. I think all of us owe a debt of gratitude to people like Amon-Ra, and even before Martin Luther King, Kwame Ture, Malala Karanga, Fannie Lou Hamer, Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X. Amir Baraka, just so many people, some unsung heroes, people that you would probably not recognize their name. You got a lot of famous people you would hear, but there were some grassroots people like Linda never, but because we stood up and because you young brothers stood up and were not ashamed. First, we were ashamed to be Black and Af not hear about Africa, but now we're proud of it, and we teach our grandchildren and our children the same thing.
Absolutely.
Excellent. So, Linda, you are affiliated with the Black Studies program through the Black Consciousness Conference and with Brother Earl Parker. Yeah, so you're right there with us.
Yes. And Fat Earl's helped us when we started the Martin Luther King Parade. Is that still going on? The Unity Parade?
Yes, it'll be January 18th here in Long Beach, going down what used to be California Avenue, now Martin Luther King Avenue, sponsored by the African American Culture Center, which I helped found. But Dale Clinton is one of the grand marshals, a woman that's 97 years old, mother in the community. But yeah, we the King Parade, it will begin continue January the 18th.
Good. Is Maurice Anderson still helping out with that?
Maurice is still involved. He's not involved with the parade, but he's still a real estate broker.
Good, good.
Wow. Very rich history. And it's continuing. That's yes. The thing. Brother Earl's still doing it. Linda, you still doing it. We have to.
Yeah, yes. So we owe it to our ancestors, Rico. We really do. Yeah. We can't be in the shadows. We got to be out there in whatever capacity that God has given you to influence people, not only to be a Black man, but to praise our Creator, our God. I'm a Christian, but these young people face a very perilous future right now, especially with the new administration coming in. We got to get closer as a family. We are very talented. Mm-hmm. We have a problem coming together, and we got to put aside these petty differences.
Yeah, we definitely need to restructure our value system as a unit. And you know, this is why we do what we do. And
this podcast is important. Yes.
We're able to call people last minute, and they're willing to come on and share information and educate. It's just a beautiful thing.
It is. It is. I applaud you, Rico. I remember when you played at Compton High. and play basketball there, and you're doing the podcast with Amon Ra. And you know, Amon Ra's not well all the time, and we have to just continue to lift him up in prayer as well as
absolutely.
You know, we're not going to be around much longer. You know, so let's do what we have to do for our grandchildren and our children.
Exactly, I agree wholeheartedly, and because of Professor Ra, this is why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I don't know where I'd be without him, to be honest with you guys. So it's a beautiful thing. And hopefully he'll be back next week to extend, you know, what he wanted to start this evening. So I appreciate everyone showing up this evening. Any last words from anybody before we leave this evening?
Rico, can you hear me? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I just want to say that I'm very grateful and thankful and honored, you know, to get more details and history of the program that I was a part of that put me where I am today, right? Yeah. And I had no idea when my buddy Mario brought me the documents to sign up to go to Long Beach State that I was going to be doing any of this. But it wouldn't have happened without him taking that initiative to say, all right, Chris, man, you need to go to Long Beach State. We're going to do X, Y, and Z. We didn't do none of the X, Y, and Z. We sure did a bunch of other things that we benefited from in life, you know. And I appreciate that, and I see where it all came from. So, like you said earlier, Rico, we are on the shoulders of others that came before us, and we have to put some people on our shoulders.
There you go. It's a beautiful thing, and anytime you guys are welcome to come and share and participate anytime. We're here. Anything else from Brother Mashinda, Linda, Ahi?
No, it was just great listening and learning.
It was good to hear from you, Linda.
And
write down my telephone number, 562-477-2976. Mm-hmm. Give me a call.
Oh, you know I will too, definitely.
562-477-2976.
Okay, I'll definitely be giving you a call this week.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Rico, for inviting me at the last minute. I mean, I'm a journalist. I know how this happens. I have a cable television program. Everything is not following by the script. But when Barry called me and said it was about Ra, me and Ra, you know, listen, me and Ra.
What kind of, can I ask, because I came on late, what type of cable television show I'm interested in learning?
Well, it's public affairs. It's called Conversations with Errol Parker.
And oh, I should have known.
If you go on the website, allsidespap.org, I think it is, Rico. I'm not sure if .com or .org. But allsidespap, I think it's .org or .com. And all the archives of the people that I have interviewed, national people and local people that I've interviewed. So you can go there and see what the mission of the organization is about.
And I will definitely do that. Wow.
Good. Okay, but thank you, Rico, for and anytime you want me to be a guest, just let me know.
Well, I'm going to be bugging you.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Earl.
You're welcome. You guys have a great night. You
okay, everybody have a great week, the rest of the week.
Brother Mashinda, you were going to say
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, I'm sure Rod would say the struggle continues.
That's right. All right, Brother Ahi, any last words?
None. I really appreciate you, and I appreciate this program. And thank you, Professor Rye, and the Black Studies program, which was phenomenal, even for those who weren't registered as students to attend. Thank you.
You got that right.
Beautiful, you know, thing.
But that's how that stuff happens, though. That's raw. He was just open like that, you know. Bring somebody here, you know. Let's open up their mind. Give them another place, you know, to go to, you know. This has been great, Rico. I appreciate it, man. You know,
I appreciate you, Chris.
Last minute or not, man, because I really owe a debt to that process, man. Got me in Europe. I was over in Europe. That whole Long Beach State thing, and being a part of that Black Studies program was just phenomenal.
Yeah, phenomenal. And then, you know, Professor Ra, when you talk about an example of how to be and what to be and leadership, yeah, that's Professor Ra.
Yeah, his son was a student there and became a professor there.
Oh, yeah. You talking about Kuomba, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Omar, I mean, doing excellent things.
Yeah.
And his other sons and his family, they all doing excellent things. Appreciate the family just like I appreciate the father.
Yeah.
Right, folks. Tomorrow we got Brother Inky Real. He's coming on again. He's been on a few times with us. And so that's what we got tomorrow night. So I'm going to say each one teach one in Conscious Corners, folks. We're going to take our pause and hope to see everybody real soon. Appreciate it.
Tante Sana.
And Tutana.
There you go.
Okay.
All right.
Good evening, brothers. Good evening.